The grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, and it is yours. In the name of the Father, who gives you all that you need in creation, and in the name of the Son, who gives himself to you even as a curse, for how else could he get at your sins? And in the name of the Holy Spirit, who is busy giving all things to Christ apart from the law. And so right off the bat, I want you to know that Christ has come to take away your sins. Christ has come to make you new in such abundance that it is beyond what you could ever ask for or even imagine, as we hear in Ephesians. This is why the Holy Spirit has brought you here today, to receive this promise. And so now you have it. Amen. But we have more to say with these scriptures given to us, with Christ coming as bread. We as Lutherans share in our confessions, and I share this with our Bible studies each year, that the world is desperate. And that might be obvious to you when you stop and look around at the world or take a listen or a watch of the news, observing politics perhaps on all sides of the aisle at all moments in history, or looking at what's going on around us. But our assumption as Lutherans now goes deeper than just general desperation. We say that the world is desperate for help that it cannot find. It cannot find this help, though it looks. So what are we to do? Well, this past Tuesday, perhaps, in primary elections, you took it upon yourself to vote, or at least vote as well as you could. Shall we vote better? Shall we make better decisions in this world? Or maybe we should slow down in life. And having gotten back from sabbatical a couple of weeks ago, I can say slowing down is a good thing. But is it everything? Or maybe we need to speed up, which is what I've had to do now, coming back to work. Speeding up has been necessary. Some say we should become wise. This is, after all, where we started in our scripture readings this morning in the Proverbs, these small trinkets or sayings that are meant to guide our ways, to keep us out of trouble, to show us, after all, a way out of desperation. Now, the way of the wise does sound pretty enticing, doesn't it? Our readings in Proverbs show Lady Wisdom preparing a beautiful meal, preparing great meat for us to eat, a feast, great drink, calling for all to come in, all of the simple-minded to enter in and eat of my bread, she says, drink of my wine, leave your simple ways behind and live and walk in the way of insight. Wisdom seeks to give life. And Proverbs tries to do this. Many of the Proverbs were written by Solomon himself, for the benefit of his family, of his children, so that they might also be wise like him. Now, this actually sounds pretty good. And Proverbs will continue to give us direction as to how we should live. They say, he who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. Or whoever winks the eye causes trouble, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. Here's one that I can appreciate. A wise son hears his father's instructions, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Or perhaps you've heard this before. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Now, all of these actually make pretty good sense, don't they? They give us direction as to how to stay on the straight and narrow. And of course, we have Proverbs in other areas of our lives as well. This summer, my brother and I attended the largest air show in the world at Oshkosh, Wisconsin, and we've been doing this since we were kids. So it's a fun place to go. And I was reminded while there that aviation has its own proverbs meant to keep pilots safe and smart, such as this. There are old pilots and there are bold pilots, but there are no old and bold pilots. Or Truly superior pilots are those who use their superior judgment in order to avoid situations where they have to use their superior skill. Or it's better to be down here wishing you were up there than it is to be up there wishing you were down here. And you don't have to be a pilot to appreciate that. These are sayings that promote life, that make you think. Be careful, they say. Be safe. This is what Proverbs try to do. And the Proverbs in the Bible go on for chapters. Not to say that when I was a kid, I loved reading the Proverbs. They were short. I could digest them easily. But I didn't always live by them. And that is the problem with Proverbs. They sound so good. They are good by way of advice. But I can never master them. Luther writes as much when he says, "The law says do this, but it is never done." And we can see this in aviation as well as in our daily lives. There are still accidents. We still mess up. So we lift up the Proverbs, but in them alone, we are desperate still for help along with the rest of the world. So what are we to do? Well, enter Jesus Christ. Of course, this is why we're gathered here. We hear for the third week in a row now, Jesus speaking about how he is the bread of life. Well, how much more of this do we need to hear, you might wonder? Plenty, apparently. And it is here now that the words of Proverbs become good news for you. For Jesus brings us a new way. Jesus says, "If anyone eats of the living bread, I will give them the life everlasting." He will live forever. Jesus continues to say that he is the living bread, the one who brings true life, the one who brings finally true wisdom, which is confession and forgiveness. The Jews, of course, those who were listening to Jesus, didn't understand what this meant. They thought that this was complete confusion. So they said, "How can this man give us flesh to eat?" But Jesus continued, saying, "Truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. But whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Well, this does not sound like wisdom at all to many, but now for you, it is life. It is peace. Christ has come now in his body and blood to give you all in all, to take away your sins, and to make you wise beyond the wisdom of the Proverbs. If the aim of the Proverbs is to give life, Jesus completes this for you and makes you new. One of the gifts of being away this summer for me and for my family was time together that we normally wouldn't have. Often our little kids are wondering, "Where is Papa going?" But this summer, they got used to having me around the house most of the time. And so when it was time to come back to work, Rafe started asking again, "Where are you going, Papa?" And I would say, "To church." And he would ask, "Why do you need to go to church so much?" And my answer was, "Well, the people at Bethel need to hear the gospel. And they have asked me to share that with them." And he thought, "Okay, that's okay." And then I added, "And this is how we support our family. This is how we make money." And Rafe thought, "Well, maybe we should go to church more often." I never know exactly what he's thinking, but I thought, well, it's not exactly like that, but we should be at church so we can hear God's word. There was an evening this last week. I had a couple of occasions, as pastors are honored to do, to be with families who had lost loved ones. And one of these evenings, I mentioned to Rafe, he was asking, "Where are you going?" And I said, "Well, I need to be with a family, and one of their family members has just died." And Rafe asked, well, will you bring them back to life? And I told him, well, no, that's not what I'm doing, but I will share with them words of promise from Jesus and the gospel, which they need to hear. But as I thought about that question, I thought maybe Rafe had more right than I realized in the moment. Though it's not my power to bring back to life. And there I was, as pastors are, sitting with a family, sitting with a loved one who had just died and was still there in the room, not moving. But Christ brings life. And here we have this word to share. Jesus saying, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever eats of me will not die, but live forever. And perhaps this four-year-old's faith was reminding me in my 41-year-old faith that I don't know it all, but Christ is doing a powerful work in this word, and as we'll witness today in this Lord's Supper, he is not just talking about life, he's giving you life. He's not just talking about wisdom, he's making you perfectly wise in the ways of eternity. Christ has come to do a new thing now. And so while the people around him could not understand what he was doing, now he comes and you may not understand it either. And I may not, as Rafe has pointed out to me, completely understand. But what I know is that Christ comes to give you life. And so while I was gathered with each of these families this week, Christ was bringing life, doing his work, raising the dead, as he will raise each of you when you sit in that grave someday. This is his promise. We have his word on it. We've heard it now 3 weeks in a row, and it never gets old. Jesus has come to do more than make you wise. He has come so that you may die and be raised up in new life. That word is the true wisdom that will last because it gives you life everlasting. So eat the bread, which is his body, and drink the wine, which is his blood. You have Christ in his body and blood, and he gives himself completely to you. And now this is what we do with a world that is desperate for help that it cannot find. We share that God has come for them in Christ. And so he has, as he has for you. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able as we sing our hymn of the day.